now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the resurrection. If you desire a copy of the Bible Answers magazine, send your request to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and it will be mailed to you free. This is the Easter season, so let us talk about the resurrection of the dead. The Bible says, "Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." This means that others besides Christ have been or will be resurrected from death. If others are resurrected, will they live on the earth? Will they live in ill health and sorrow? Will they live in war and chaos? What can we look forward to at this Easter season? But first, may I tell our friends that this frank and earnest broadcast is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, and in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, do tell us of our hope concerning life after death.
Russell, do you believe that God is still able to perform miracles?
Of course I do. But will God use his miracle-working power to end human suffering and death and to bring about a resurrection of the dead? That is the question.
Yes, Russell, and that's the message the Bible contains for us today. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of God's greatest guarantees of this fact. Actually, the resurrection of Jesus was but the beginning of a whole series of miracles, which, before they're all performed, will see Edenic perfection and happiness restored worldwide and mankind restored to life upon the earth, enjoying peace and health forever.
Ed, is all that you have just said in the Bible?
Yes, the Bible gives us that assurance. It is clearly set forth in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. In this chapter, the apostle is emphasizing the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. It is so important, he says, that if Christ is not risen, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished.
Now, what does that mean?
Just what it says. You know what the word perish means, don't you not?
Well, I know what the dictionary says. The dictionary says that to perish is to utterly be destroyed or to go out of existence.
That's right. And evidently that's what the apostle meant, for he adds that if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable.
Ed, does that mean that if the Christian's hope is to be a real hope, it must embrace faith in the resurrection of the dead?
Yes, it does. And one of the great fundamentals of the Christian religion is the hope of the resurrection. It is only from the standpoint of our hope in the resurrection that we are able to understand why God is permitting so much suffering in the world today. All who are dying are to be restored to life, the proof of which is the fact that more than 19 centuries ago, God raised Jesus from the dead.
You said a moment ago that the resurrection of Jesus was the first in a whole series of miracles. Just what did you mean by that?
I think we'd best let the Apostle Paul answer that question, which he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, where he states, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
The term first fruits indicates that others are also to be raised from the dead.
Yes, that's precisely the thought, and thus you see, The miracles of Jesus' resurrection was but a beginning of miracles.
But isn't there an extremely long time between the miracles, Ed?
No, not really. When you realize what God has been doing since Jesus was raised from the dead.
Well, it certainly doesn't look as though he is doing very much in the world today. Think of the mess that the world is in.
For us, we would be surprised if we knew all that God is now doing. However, let's get back to the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and notice how the apostle traces a sequence of divine miracles on behalf of humanity. I suggest that you read verses 21 and 22.
Thank you. I'll be glad to. I read, "For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Ed, are we to understand from this scripture that the resurrection work of Christ is to be just as far-reaching as the effects of death through Father Adam's disobedience?
Russell, that's clearly what the apostle is telling us.
Well, it certainly would be grand to see some evidence of it. Sin, disease, suffering, and death is about all the world has known thus far. Oh, I'm not forgetting that Jesus was raised from the dead nearly 2,000 years ago. But nothing has occurred since to indicate anything is to come out of that miracle of Christ being raised from the dead, which will probably affect the experience of this suffering and dying world.
But Russell, please continue reading, and I suggest that you read the next verse, which is the 23rd.
Very well. "But every man in his own order," it says. "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." This, I presume, is explaining how and when all in Christ are to be made alive, as I read a moment ago in verse 22.
That's right. Now notice the use of that word first fruits.
It means that there will be after fruits?
Yes, but in this case, the first fruits include the church of Christ. Paul says, "For as the body is one and has many members, so also is Christ." In James chapter 1, verse 18, we read of the church as being first fruits.
Well, that is certainly interesting, but tell me, Ed, is there any significance in the term first fruits other than merely that of being the first?
Yes, there is. The term is borrowed from the Old Testament. In God's dealing with Israel, the law required that the bringing in of the first fruits of their crops to the Lord for an offering. In some cases, it said the first of the first fruits are mentioned particularly.
And Jesus, of course, was the first of the first fruits.
That's right. But all the first fruits in the type are offered to God, which illustrates that the entire first fruits group of this age, that is, Jesus and his church, present themselves to the Heavenly Father as an offering.
Does that explain why the church has undergone suffering throughout the gospel age?
That is the explanation. Every disciple of Christ has been invited to follow in his footsteps of suffering and to be faithful even unto death. When this first fruits class is complete, the afterward blessing will come to the rest of humanity.
Ed, may I read verses 22 and 23 again? "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." This, I presume, means at his second coming.
That's right. The following verses show he will reign for the purpose of destroying all enemies of God, and that finally, even death itself, the last enemy, will be destroyed.
But what about the present and all the centuries since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead?
Well, God's program of salvation has gone steadily on. The miracles did not cease with the resurrection of Jesus. 50 days thereafter came Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his disciples as body members of the Christ for their guidance and development. Finally, the miracle-working power of God raises these from the dead in the first resurrection. Then they're united with Christ in heavenly glory, and afterward, through the millennial kingdom arrangements, the blessings of life purchased by the death of Jesus and guaranteed by his resurrection will be extended to all mankind.
And that will be during the time of Christ's second presence.
Yes, and the first manifestation of that presence, so far as the world is concerned, is a great time of trouble. It is this that the world has been passing through since 1914, which means that the time is near for the blessings of health and life through Christ's kingdom to reach the people, as the book Hope Beyond the Grave so clearly shows. Russell, will you tell our listeners how they may obtain a copy of this little book free?
Yes, Ed, I will. Friends, to believe in the miracles of Easter is to have faith in God's ability to raise the dead, and he has promised to raise the dead, as Hope Beyond the Grave clearly shows. May I ask you, what is death? Where are the dead? Remember, the Bible, hell is not a place of torture. These are some of the biblical assurances brought to you by Hope Beyond the Grave. So send for Hope Beyond the Grave today. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Hope Book. Just the one word hope will do, and Hope Beyond the Grave will be sent to you free through the mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.